executive John is going Paxson. To say that I'm this is going to be my opportunity to step into a front office of a heritage NBA brand and say, yeah, but this is the coach.
So how many coaches in a row will that be that the Bulls have paid to go away? Because they paid Fred to go away.
Did Vinny get paid to go away?
We'll say Fred.
I believe so.
Yeah, right? He had the 1 year left.
Thibs had a year left.
Oh, absolutely.
Right? So Thibs had a year left. Fred had a year left. They'll do it with Boylan.
Skiles did not.
But they're good. Mm-hmm. They like paying multiple guys. Mm-hmm. They don't pay them a ton. That's part of the reason why is that we're probably going to have to pay two of them.
You think they'd be better with all the coaches they pay.
Right? Yeah. Like a whole college of them.
You'll bring them all back.
To WSCR and HD Chicago, WBMX, HD2 Chicago, Sports Radio 670, thescoreradio.com, sports station. All right, so I'm in on bring your glove to Scorehouse.
Oh, yeah. No, we're bringing gloves.
Yeah, because I'm in at Scorehouse. That's pretty exciting. I have a tee that I use for the Roopster. Should I bring a tee?
Is he at legit T-ball level now?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, he's probably bigger than that. He probably should be beyond T-ball.
Is he past the kids running the wrong way T-ball, or is he still some kids running the third base level?
He hasn't played the official organized.
Oh, is he playing this summer?
He's going to play this summer.
What league? That is so awesome.
I don't know yet. I've got to make that happen.
Scout some leagues.
Yeah,
put some reports together.
But he's showing a little bit of interest in the activity. What he got into though Thursday night was basketball, and then. And I've talked about this, like he sees sports on television as the enemy. This is the thing that takes time and attention of my father away from me. So he sees
that's fascinating.
God. Yeah. So he sees me turn it on and he grumbles about it. And sometimes he uses it like, Daddy, can I stay up late and watch baseball with you? Huh?
But not because he wants to.
Not at all.
He wants to spend time with you and or
correct.
Stay up late.
Correct. So, but the other morning we were getting ready to put on Octonauts or something before school. And it was on Lakers Celtics highlights. And he said, oh, wait, Daddy, let's watch this. And I was like, oh, yes, my son. Absolutely. Boy. Yes, my son. So I might have found a little something here.
Boy, he sounds more like, because my daughter has been that way where she can't stay. She doesn't know and can't stand anything about sports. Like just
none of it.
Oh, my God. None of it. Even her college choice came down to the college she wanted to look at. She said, anything where my social life has anything to do with feeling like I might have to attend a basketball or football game is off the list.
See?
Which is fine with me, because then I know I'm sending her to a school where a coach of a revenue-generating sport isn't the most powerful person on campus.
Right, and isn't in the business of protecting players who might do untoward things at parties.
Correct.
Yeah.
So even though Denison has one of the best swimming and diving programs anywhere, nobody feels compelled to go watch a diving meet. It's like, well, you know, we would go into town tonight,
unless the Triple Lindy is involved, in which case I'm gonna have to go.
Then I'm there for it. Thornton Mellon is there in all his glory.
Right, but they go one way or the other, right? The children like will either rebel against the things you love or perhaps end up embracing things you love.
Does he play sports video games?
Nope.
Oh,
nope.
Okay.
Adventure video games.
Like so, Minecraft.
Correct.
And, okay.
Oh, correct.
Man. Did you let him play Fortnite?
No. Not as of yet.
It's so great.
Is it?
Yeah, Fortnite's over. Our Fortnite phase is long gone. But when he was in the middle of the Fortnite phase, I used to make a point of my exercise bike is down in the basement with a view of the television. So I would time up my home workouts when he was on with his friends playing Fortnite, and I would just heckle the living hell out of him. It was so much fun. And his friends could hear me doing it, which made it even more fun.
That makes sense as to why the Fortnite days are over, doesn't it? Well, I didn't like it so much.
They all grew out of it like this. Like, it was their entire life, and then it was just over. It was just, I think.
Interesting.
I think the game, when Thanos got into it and things just got, it's like they kept, every season that came out.
Jumped a shark.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a shark.
I'm in a little sweet spot with him where he's like, he's kind of turning into a little boy. I mean, he is, but he's like turning into like he's got a haircut now and uses gel and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But he still like reaches for daddy's hand to cross the street and stuff like that.
Nice.
So that feels like a little, a contradictory
sweet spot
that is not going to last for a long
time. bit.
I'm trying, of man. That. I'm trying. That's why I work as little as humanly possible.
And the other thing is, if I look at the amount of money that has been spent on
some
sports
of that's
equipment,
not up to me, but like, you know.
Then I realize like the amount of money that's been spent on sports equipment.
Yeah.
You know, for whether hockey or baseball over these years, when everybody in playing against sports knows you by name, when every time you open your computer, every generated ad is for goalie pads or a baseball glove or something. Then, and I was kind of complaining he needed golf clubs because he's outgrown his varsity set. He needed grown up golf clubs. And I'm like, God, you know, we got to do this and put a set together and the whole thing. And my wife is like, would you stop it? And I said, what? She said, don't pretend you don't love this. She said, don't pretend that you don't love shopping for sports equipment with your son. It's like you complain about it and you look at the expense of it and you're always saying you always need to do this. She says, I guarantee you, you look forward to it. I guarantee you, you enjoy it.
Uh-huh.
She said, when you spend all day doing it, it doesn't take you all day.
Right.
When you're driving from place to place.
Has she not met you? Like, is this, like, right. She not realized that you like to complain about things that you enjoy?
Right. Of course I love this. That's why I'm complaining about it.
That's right. This is me talking about it and reveling
in it. This is how I emote joy. I don't trust joy as an emotion, so I complain about things. Right.
Unclear.
Exactly.
Right. Something doesn't feel right. Is this like what feeling good is? Yeah, I've got to find some way to complain.
How
about
do
it.
I dissect that? Well, I'm looking forward to doing some radio today and tomorrow in for Lawrence. I know you guys did the big double, the 5-hour double, and I am pleased to relieve you today. Kendall Gill at 12:30 talks in buckets. And then Bruce Feldman from The Athletic.
He's great.
And he wrote a really cool book a couple years ago on building a quarterback and decoding which quarterbacks are bound for NFL success. And I loved the book, and I think about it every year at this time. And
does a Bears fan want to hear this?
Well, see, I don't think they're going to draft a quarterback in the early rounds. I think that would be Ryan Pace admitting something he is not prepared to admit and thinking in a long-term way that I do not believe he feels necessarily empowered to think. Like, maybe they'll take one in later rounds, but I'll be shocked if he takes one in earlier rounds. But more than anything, I'm kind of intrigued about what it is that makes a quarterback a great prospect these days. And is that still what it was even 2 years ago?
Yeah, I don't think so.
Right?
Not with the air raid being what it is. Not with the acceptance of those quarterbacks who just have those reps to put on tape. I think we've changed it completely.
I think we have. But then as you watch, you know, guys like Lamar Jackson, you watch him dominate a regular season, you start thinking one way.
I was trying to do the list in my head, guys like Lamar Jackson, and I ran out really quick.
Yeah, like Bobby Wagner said at one point this year, he's one of one.
Really is.
Lamar Jackson. So you watch him dominate, and you think you're learning something, and then you see him lose in the playoffs, and did you learn something else? So where do those things meet? Yeah. So we'll talk to Bruce about that at 1 o'clock.
Cool, man.
Cool. Enjoy stuff, it. And really looking forward to Scorehouse,
too. Yeah, man. Me too. Yeah. That's going to be good fun. All right, man. They are Bernstein and McKnight. They're back tomorrow at 9 a.m. I'm Matt Spiegel in for Lawrence Holmes here on 670 The Score with Campy and Herb Lawrence on this side.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Sitting in for the vacationing Lawrence Holmes is the Score's own Matt Spiegel on 670 The Score, a radio.com sports station.
The top of the hour was brought to you by Northwestern Basketball. Join the Wildcats at Welsh Ryan Arena this Thursday when they host Illinois at 7 p.m. Tickets are on sale now at nusports.com. It is Spiegel, indeed, in for Lawrence, and pleased to be so. This hour, the Score brought to you by Team Hochberg. Visit their new website, 56david.com. That's 56david.com. We're going to talk some baseball along the way here because, you know, me and baseball can't wait to get out there on Friday, traveling out, going to see some games on Sunday, the 1st of March. I get a chance to do play-by-play for Cubs Mariners right here on 670 The Score and on the Cubs Radio Network. I assume that means that those out of town can listen via the MLB At Bat app. I've already been using MLB At Bat to listen to some ball games. And not every radio network is doing every team's games. But when they are done, they appear to be on MLB At Bat, which is pretty cool. And I'm so pumped for that. It's gotten me ready for baseball in a different way and thinking about baseball in a different way. I sat at my kitchen table the other day and did the first three innings of White Sox Dodgers. Due respect to the NBC Sports Chicago debut with Jason Benetti and Steve Stone, but I muted those men and sat there and did the first three innings. And what I realized more than anything is the 2.5-3 hours of prep that I had done before the game was not enough. Not enough to even really do three innings of a game solo. Now, I will have a partner. The great Ron Coomer will be there with me on Sunday, of course. But, man, it was fun and very useful to do the research on the White Sox and the research on the Dodgers, I think, will come in handy along the way. But as I get ready to be the baseball man for both sides of town here on The Score this summer, I'll continue on Inside the Clubhouse with Bruce Levine. And then Hit and Run begins on Sunday, March 15th, 9 to noon, 9 to 12:30 sometimes, or whenever the Cubs game begin here on The Score. It'll be me doing baseball for both sides of town. So my research on the White Sox was certainly useful. I was using all my stuff, you know. If you're not careful, you use all your stuff in the first at bat. And then Danny Mendick comes up for the second time, and I'm like, oh, yeah, what am I going to reference again here for Danny Mendick? Although Danny Mendick's a great story, and I'm looking forward to Danny Mendick being a part of things. But, man, there's so much fun stuff going on in baseball right now, not the least of which is the White Sox updating things as an organization. Finally stepping forward into the modern age in ways that they have wanted to, but ways that take time. I know James Fegan wrote about it today on The Athletic. I've talked to some people within the organization over the past few days as I was preparing for that game and really just thinking about the year, where the pitching lab, the pitch and hit lab, it's both for the White Sox, has been created and been built. Last week it was built. And now guys have available to them the kind of things that have been available for other organizations and have not been for the White Sox. And it's not just to fix the broken. And that is certainly going on, but it's for the best in the world to take advantage of and maintain their performance at the highest level. Lucas Giolito is so freaking happy right now. And isn't that a guy you want to make happy? A guy who transformed himself through his own control of Lucas Giolito Incorporated, the CEO of his own pitching corporation, as he was last offseason. He's just so happy to have everything there. The stuff that he used last offseason outside the org, some of it is available within the org. And some of the guys who have been broken are doing whatever they can. If I were to ask you, Herb Lawrence, White Sox fan, host of Locked On White Sox, in fact.
That's correct.
If I were to ask you which pitcher in camp is the most open-minded and active with every bit of the new stuff that's available, who would you guess that it is?
I would be guessing it'll be a younger guy like Michael Kopech.
Kopech is open, and from the guys I talked to, Kopech is open and is intrigued, but that's not the guy. There's somebody who is desperately trying to make this year count and stay active and effective.
Lucas Giolito?
No.
Ronaldo Lopez.
Carlos Rodon.
Wow.
Is freaked out and knows that this is maybe the last spring that he comes into camp with this particular team with a full-on shot at a job to be his when healthy. Because he can't stay healthy. And so he is open to everything. One of the guys that the White Sox have brought in as part of their front office used to work at Modus. And Modus was bought by Driveline. Driveline Baseball is a name that maybe a lot of people know. Modus is another company. And I remember Theo Epstein telling me years ago that as they were trying to keep pitchers healthy, the future, the frontier, it might involve what he called the Modus sleeve. And the Modus sleeve is something that pitchers put on, and then you attach several different computers and biomechanical systems to, and you try to figure out how to keep them healthy. Because the elbow especially is a conundrum that no one has figured out. Well, a guy who used to work for Modus and then worked for Driveline when Driveline bought him now is in charge of biomechanics for the White Sox. And Rodon is picking his brain with fervor, trying to find any possible way. Think about it. If you're Carlos Rodon, a former top five pick, number two overall, right? Number two overall or three? Number three, the year the Cubs took Schwarber, I believe, same year. Is that the Brady Aiken year to the Houston Astros, or is it the Dansby Swanson year? Check out that draft for me.
I'll look it up, but most of the reason why he fell to the White Sox
was injury.
Injury, yeah.
Yep, and he was, because he was dominant the year before he got drafted at LSU. Right?
That was the Brady Aiken, Tyler Kolek, Carlos Rodon, Kyle Schwarber.
So that's your top four. How about that? I remember all those names. Brady Aiken got hurt. The Astros got reimbursed for that pick. Tyler Kolek was throwing 101 in Colorado camp, but I'm not sure what happened to him. I'll be shocked if you tell me he didn't get hurt. And you could look it up. And then Rodon, three, and Schwarber, four.
Seven, I think, was Aaron Nola, 10, Michael Conforto.
Oh, there you go. So seven is the best. Aaron Nola is more valuable than Schwarber. So Nola, is Nola the most valuable guy in that first round?
It looks like it, yeah. Mm. It doesn't look like any more all-stars in that first round. If scroll down a little bit.
Yeah, scroll down a little bit. See who else was in that first round. But yeah, it's fascinating to think about.
Matt Chapman's the other name.
Woo!
Late in the first round.
That might be second or third best third baseman overall in baseball. At just about as good defensively as his high school teammate, Nolan Arenado. Matt Chapman. Yes, yes. Imagine that infield. Although Chapman, I think, was a freshman when Arenado was a senior.
Are they both playing third base?
Yeah, no, I think they were both shortstops at first, because the best guy in high school is always a shortstop. But anyway, so Carlos Rodon, desperate to find a way to maintain health, because he was starting to figure it out before his most recent injuries.
I think when he does pitch and he's 100% healthy, he's filthy. Everybody knows that. Slider's can't be hit.
Yeah.
But yeah, he should be looking into this, because if he comes back to this White Sox team post All-Star break, he might be coming out of the bullpen, not starting, because if they have everything going for them,
yes,
think about that. Kopech will probably be going for them. They'll have a top of the lineup with Giolito, Giovanni Gonzalez, and Dylan Cease is going well.
Giolito, Reynaldo, Keuchel, if Reynaldo is going well, and I think he will, actually. Giolito, Reynaldo, Keuchel, Gio Gonzalez. So you've got four pretty much locked right there.
And Cease is not going anywhere.
And Cease. So, I mean, so you could be looking at, yes, a healthy and trusted Rodon and Kopech as sixth or seventh starter options or bullpen options.
I
mean,
I think that in his future, Carlos Rodon probably is a filthy Andrew Miller type / Josh Hader type.
Well, he might have to make that kind of adjustment, but you know he doesn't want to. And that's why this spring is critical for him. So his curiosity and passion into all the new tech that's available there makes all the sense in the world. It's a very interesting moment, and I hope White Sox fans are enjoying that feeling that Cub fans had for a couple of years, 2014 and 15 especially. And of course, the spring of 16, that feeling that Blackhawks fans had for 2008, 2009, and the beginnings of 2010, that feeling of next, that feeling of, you know what? We might be next. Because sometimes it pans out. Just told you about two orgs where it did. The Blackhawks won three times, Cubs won once, tried desperately to win for three more years, are trying now to elongate the window. But sometimes you're the Bears and you have that feeling of next as a fan base, and it blows up so ugly in your face. I don't believe that this is a year that could blow up so ugly that White Sox fans fully lose that feeling of next. I think even if this year ends up being a non-playoff year, a slightly under 500 season, I think you'll probably still have most of that feeling maintained, especially if some of the key pieces perform. But right now is a very, very special moment, and I hope people are enjoying it. It's also, just in terms of the pitch lab and that stuff, I talked about this the other day, but your listeners change every 15 minutes, as I was told by Ron Gleason. Read every chance you get, listen every chance you get to Don Cooper as he talks about analytics, as he talks about Rapsodo and talks about all this stuff, because not only is it entertaining, it is a terrific teachable moment to not fear technology, not fear math, because just because you don't maybe understand it at first doesn't mean it's some crazy foreign concept. Coop has realized that all of this stuff does, usually, is measure things he's been trying to talk about for decades. Measure things. Like talking about getting on top of the baseball is some weird concept. It's not even a weird concept, but it's just some like, oh, unless you're in the game, you wouldn't understand getting on top of the ball. Well, you know how I can understand now? Because they call it spin axis. And now I can look at the printouts and the data from Rapsodo using the Edutronic cameras, and I can figure this out now. And we can talk about it in a common language that even the 22-year-old pitcher understands, Coop. He doesn't have to learn and figure out the way you're describing.